Thank you, Lord, because this is the season where we remember your sacrifice for us through the birth of the Son of God. And as we look at prayer, we continue to look at prayer, we ask, Lord, that you with us this morning and speak to us, for your servants are listening. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our journey through understanding prayer, and we've looked at several different Bible characters and how they prayed. Now, not very traditional prayers, but how they struggled with God. We looked at King Uzziah, we looked at Isaiah, we looked at Abraham, we looked at Jacob, who wrestled with God, and last Sunday we looked at Hannah, who prayed in pain. Today, we want to look at Moses, and Moses did a lot of praying for many, many different occasions. But we want to look at one, which is when he prayed very boldly to ask God to do things that perhaps no other Bible character has actually asked God to do. Somehow, Moses has a very special relationship with God. We're going to read the text right now. So follow along as I read Exodus 33. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," God said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft on the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." What a special relationship for one person to have with God, to where this kind of exchange is happening. And we look at this and we wonder, is it possible for anybody to have this kind of relationship with God? Embedded in the verses that I read are three prayers that Moses prayed. The first prayer is in verse 13. "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways." And in verse 15 is the second prayer. "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." And then the third prayer, "Now show me your glory." So let's look at these three prayers. The first one, "Teach me your ways," is mainly an academic prayer, if you will. We as evangelicals were very good with teaching the Bible. So maybe perhaps this is an invitation to a Bible study. I want to know more about God. So let's go through the Bible. Let's go through the Old Testament. Let's look at the prophets. Let's look at the stories of old. Let's look at the New Testament. Let's look at the Gospels. Let's look at the epistles. Teach me your ways. If you want to understand who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, this is a good way to start. So when we say you want to be a Christian, you need to know what it's like to be a Christian. How do you know that? We say, read the Bible. We say, study the Bible. We say, let's go through and see, what does the Bible say? How do we apply it? And then how do we live that life? So that's the first prayer. Maybe you say it as an introductory prayer, if you will. The second prayer that Moses made, verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses is saying, I just don't want to know who you are, but I want your presence on a daily basis. This is now, as Christians, we say we want the Holy Spirit to be with us. You know, many times as Christians, if I were to ask people, so what is your daily devotional life like? They will say, I wake up in the morning, do my chores. I will sit and read a passage of scripture, maybe use our daily bread, which we have. And then I will pray and ask God to answer my needs. And then I go to work. And then I'd be busy at work, but somehow God was left at the chair at home or the breakfast table at home. Because that was my spiritual life. This is now my secular life. And then perhaps at night or at meals we would be praying. But at night when we go to bed, we may do a short prayer. And then the next morning we do the routine again. So we have this devotional life that is more about teaching, but not the presence of God. Moses says, I want your presence. Don't make me walk from here if you don't go with me. Now we today say, that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, I have to go, the Holy Spirit will come. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will be with you, but he will be in you. The most wonderful thing for us as Christians today is that God is in us. Now, sometimes in the course of doing ministry, we have to do demonic deliverance because some people are oppressed by Satan or by demons. And then people would ask me, people would say, Pastor, aren't you scared that the demon's going to jump on you or jump on somebody else? So we got Jesus in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. God is in you. I know oftentimes it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like God is in you. But in reality, God is in you. It's just that you don't access God. And so Moses says, I want your presence so badly. Don't make me move unless you walk with me. That's very important for us as Christians. But guess what? Moses is not even satisfied with that. He goes even one step further. He said, now show me your glory. And I read the story where God says, you can only see my backside. Now remember Isaiah, right? Isaiah saw God, his holiness. Isaiah says, I'm done. I'm ruined because I'm a sinner. And I live among people who are sinners. But Moses said, no, I want to see that glory. And God did answer him. But then the question we have to ask ourselves is this available for us? Or is this just available for those Christians who are like super duper Christians? You know? And a lot of people say, well, you know what? It's only for pastors. It's only for really good people. But not for me. But if you read carefully Moses' prayer, it's almost like a demand of God. Now show me your glory. But what in Moses' life would allow him to be able to do that? Some of you know who this is? Anybody know who that is? Okay. Now, it was said that every time he fought any title fight, he would make a minimum between $50 to $80 million. Now, I know you look at that and you say, wow, okay. Well, you know what? Why don't I stand there and let somebody hit me and you can pay me $100,000. I'll just stand there to hit me. Just hit me for $100,000. Well, you know that nobody is going to pay you any money to hit you. You may have to pay them to hit you. But then again, nobody will pay to watch you be hit. The reason he can be and command that kind of money is because of how he's worked his way through. Right? All the things that he has done to get to that point, to be at the pinnacle of his sport, if you will. Now, recently this year, our Los Angeles Lakers has LeBron James, and if you were to calculate his salary, he's paid $400,000 to be in the court for 48 minutes. Calculate how much that works out per minute. And he doesn't play every 48 minutes. And you say, wow, just pay me 10% of that. No, how hard was it for him to be able to get there? Before that kind of money, that kind of recognition can get to. So the question we have is, how does one get there? For Moses to be able to say to God, show me your glory. How was he able to get there? I think we can learn from Moses. The first thing we can learn was he was curious about God. He was curious about this thing called God. And we know the story. He was a shepherd. And then he saw this fire, this bush that was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Recently, we see a lot of what was happening up north in the wildfires in paradise. And I was reading an article about why the burning was so quick. And he said, it is because of embers. What that means is when you burn a bush or something, there would be sparks that fly out. And sparks go to the next house, go into the eaves of the ceiling, and it continues on and on. Fire spread very quickly. This is a phenomenon for fire not spreading. What do we do when there's a fire? We run the opposite direction. But Moses saw something he's never seen before. And curiosity is very important. Do you know that in the Christian life, curiosity is very important? In fact, it happens with Jesus. Jesus gave the parable of the four soils. He gave the parable and he walked away. And very few people followed him. The disciples followed and some other disciples and some other people followed him. And the picture I have is somebody tapping Jesus on the shoulder and says, what do you mean by this? Jesus, before he answered, he said, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. But I have parables. I use parables for everything I say to outsiders. You know, when somebody is curious about God, God honors that. When we draw near to God, God draws near to us. But see, not many people want to be curious about God. We see something miraculous happen to people. Oh yeah, that's good. Then we walk away. God does something in our life that totally transforms us, and then we walk away. We hear testimonies of people being changed. We say, wow, that's wonderful. But we're never curious. That is the first step in Moses. Moses got curious of what God is doing. The more one knows God, the more we can really go into what God is like. But most of us are afraid. Why? We're afraid that God's going to send us to Africa. Or people say this to me all the time. I don't want to be too close to God because he's going to make me do something I don't want to do. Well, let me tell you, if God has the best intentions for you, how can he make you do something you don't want to do? Now, you got to remember about Moses. Not only was he curious, Moses obeyed. And in his obedience, the Israelites saw so many things that God did. There were the 10 plagues, right? There was the Passover. where the angel of death only killed those who did not have the blood of the Lamb in front of their house. There's a pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night that led the Israelites. There was the angel who went before them. There was the crossing of the Red Sea. There was a water from bitter that became sweet. There was manna and quail that came every morning. There was water that came out from the rock. There was enemies defeated. There was watching the Lord descend. And then there was the Ten Commandments. But you know what happened in chapter 32 of Exodus. Moses was up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And what did the Israelites do? They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted a golden calf so that they can worship. Often they grumbled about hardship. You know, it's very curious because they always reminisced how good it was in Egypt when they were slaves in Egypt. One of my professors coined this phrase. I think he coined it. It is easier to take the people out of Egypt than to take Egypt out of the people. It's easier to move them out of Egypt, but the inside is always there. And this is who we are as sinners. It is easy for one to say, I receive Jesus, become a Christian. But quite oftentimes we are Christian in what we say, but in what we do, we always want to go back to where we were before. And that's why character development and growth is so hard for the Christian. That's why it's so hard in discipleship that change needs to happen in our lives in order for us to be able to move in our Christian life. For Moses, he saw God just the way most of them saw God. But he kept pushing in more and more and more. This is a curious thing that happened in this statement. Remember, Moses was up in the mountain. And then God said, you know what? You need to go down there because the people are corrupting themselves by worshiping the golden calf. And here's what God said. Now leave me alone so my fierce anger can blaze against them and I will destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. Let's pause for a second on this statement. If you were Moses, if I was Moses, that sounds like a very good offer, God. You know, all the things that they have seen with God, and yet they rebel. It's nice, God. Why don't you just destroy them and let's just create a new nation, you know, a nation of really good people. Sometimes that's the way with church, isn't it? Oh boy, I don't like this guy. I don't like that guy. I don't like all these people. Maybe I should go to another church. It's going to be better. You know, or whatever it is. We feel like we can just walk away from all the problems. But look at what Moses said. Moses tried to pacify the Lord his God. Moses tried to say, God, whoa, hold on, God. Oh Lord, why are you so angry with your own people whom you brought from the land of Egypt with such great power and such a strong hand? This is hard for Moses. Moses appealed to God in many different ways. God, these are your people. Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind about your threat. Remember Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Remember your oath to them. So there was Moses was trying to convince God not to do what God said he was going to do. See, Moses was torn between a love for God and a love for the people. Moses' heart was passionate for God, but Moses' heart was passionate for Israel. Now let's look at this. If my heart is passionate for God, but my heart is not passionate for people, then what would I do? I'd like to worship God by myself. I don't really care about everybody else who's going to be destroyed. In fact, I would walk away from many things and just worship at home. And I know some people who do that. Oh, I said, where do you go to worship? Oh, I just use my YouTube to worship. But you can't do that. Because we have to have a balance of passion for God and passion for people. But if our passion is for people, then we can't balance it with God. I talk to people. They would be very happy doing all the good things. You know, social services, helping people. But they just forget God in the process. But Moses has this balance. Concern for God, justice, but concern for the people also. Both must be in the balance. Moses knows God's judgment is correct. But Moses also knows God is merciful. Moses knows that the people are obstinate and rebellious. Moses also knows that these people need God. Later, Moses pushed even harder. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a terrible sin these people have committed. They have made gods of gold for themselves. But now, listen to this. If you, God, will only forgive their sins, but if not, erase my name from the record you have written." That's passion for God, but passion for people. Moses basically said, you know what? Just destroy me. Save this group of people. He put his life on the line. That's what gave Moses the right to pray these three prayers. Where is your walk with God today? Where is your walk with God today? Is your walk, at least teach me your ways? I know for some of us, we don't really care. We just care that we show up on Sunday. But let me tell you, that's all you do. You have no passion for God. You have no passion for people. You got to ask yourself, is God really part of your life? Because if he's only part of a section of your life, then really he's not part of any part of your life. It's like wearing socks in the morning, or for men, you know, or whatever, you know, women do. It's just part of your morning, but you can do without it, right? If you drive 30 miles away to work, you're not going to drive home just to wear your socks or whatever, because, it's okay, I can do that tomorrow. Somehow that's God for us. But at least are you interested enough to say, teach me your ways? I hope you are. But that is only a beginning step. Because if you know the ways of God, but his presence is not with you, then he's only theoretical. He's only theory for you. What he wants is his presence in our lives. And I desire that for all of us, that the presence of God will be with us. That we walk with a sense of understanding and hearing God speak to us, hearing God communicate to us, and a growing passion for him. Thirdly, we can ask God to show us his glory. His glory can be as flashy as what happened to Moses. His glory can be as quiet as knowing that he is doing something in your life. And God is doing tremendous things in a number of our people. I talk to some of you, and I hear what God is doing. But don't waste it, you know. Because if you don't pay attention, then you just kind of pass it by and just live your life as normal again. God has passion for his glory, and God has passion for people. Another part of the worship team this morning is our communion. So we're going to sing Lamb of God. But God's passion is for all of us. You know, Jesus was human, but Jesus' passion was always for God's glory. But Jesus was passionate for
for human beings also, enough to die for us. This morning, this is the passion of Jesus. The passion for people. Passion for you and for me. If it were not for his sacrifice on the cross for us, we would not have salvation. Our passion for God would not be existent. But this is what is beautiful about our faith. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
You have sent him from your son to warn.
And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross.
Because of your cross, we have been saved. Because of your cross, we have been forgiven. Because of your body and your blood broken for us, we can be redeemed. O wonderful Lamb of God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just sing the chorus. I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Let's sing again, O Lamb of God.
Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God.
I love the Holy Lamb of God. Blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit walk with you daily so that you can see the glory of God. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son,